Marks. And they were married for many years before Harold passed away, but very, very early in their marriage, May made for Harold an apple pie for dessert one night after supper. And Harold was sitting at the table, and he took a few bites of the pie, and I guess he ate the whole piece, and he looked at May, his bride of just not a long, long time, and he said, "Well, May, that was good, but not quite as good as my mama's." Never do that. She said, "If you ever get one again, your mama will make it for you." She waited about 30 years. And she finally said, "Well, I guess I'll make him another one." And he was very complimentary of that pie 30 years later. So there are just some things that you should never do. And that's definitely one of them. I want you to turn in your Bible to Philippians chapter 3. And this morning we're going to look at a text that will help us learn some things that we should never do. Now, I know that this is Father's Day. And very often on Father's Day, since I have been here, we have looked at Luke 15 as our text. And we have thought about the father and many aspects of the two sons of that father and the parable that Jesus tells on that particular occasion. Last year, we kind of broke tradition with that because we were looking at a lesson each Sunday from the readings that we were involved in as a congregation together. And well, I guess that just jolted me enough out of the pattern last year that actually as I was moving toward this Sunday, I didn't think about using Luke 15. In fact, I just have to be perfectly honest with you. I knew that this Sunday was Father's Day, and I knew that that was going on and going to be happening, but just as far as thinking about coordinating a lesson with that, it just wasn't at the forefront of my mind until nearly the week was over. And I'd been putting together some of this, but then I began to realize how well it fits in with a Father's Day theme, because while what we're looking at here are some things that we should never do, applying to Christians, you know, male and female, young and old, all of us, there are definitely some specific applications we can make as fathers as well, and we learn from this to help us be better fathers, and all of us, I think, can learn from this text to be better people and serve the Lord more effectively. In our text, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold for me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now, in this text, there are three things that we want to discuss for a few minutes this morning that we should never do. And as we look at our text, number one, we see that we should never think we have arrived at perfection. We should never think that we have arrived at the point of perfection. Now, I think you see how, as fathers, this can easily apply to each and every one of us, that we must avoid thinking that we have arrived at the point of we have all the answers, we have all the perfection that an ideal father should have, because we'll never quite get there. But as a broader application for each and every one of us, the text tells us we should never think that we've arrived at perfection, because when you look at the text, here is a great man writing this. I know that the Apostle Paul is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and so what he's teaching us here and what we are receiving here really is from the very Spirit of God. But there's also a personal dynamic of the author of each scripture that enters the picture. And you have here a man who was a very spiritual man. You have here a man who had a great love for God. You have here a man who had a tremendous working knowledge of the scriptures, even without inspiration, even without miraculous direction. You have here a man who was a tremendous example and pillar, spiritually speaking, in Christianity. But he says, you know, there's some things that I still am working on. I am not there yet. And if a man like this says that, then, you know, where does that leave me? Because I certainly am very inferior to the stature of Paul. Well, where does that leave me? Well, there are some things that I should never think that I've reached perfection. In fact, back up, if you will. Let's read the larger context. And back up, if you will, to verse 4. And as we begin reading verse 4, you begin to see that there's some things that Paul is saying that even he had not yet taken hold of. And obviously we can make application for ourselves as well. But Philippians 3, verse 4, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I'm more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. See, he's bragging about his pedigree, but not for the point of being arrogant. He's just saying, you know, in the perspective of this world and the way people look at things, you know, I had a lot going for me. I had accomplished a lot and achieved a lot and was born providentially into some very good circumstances. Verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, some translations say. It is probably better translated as dung. I count them as dung, that I may gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. And then the text we read, not that I have already attained, but there are things that He does. But from our text, we see first that he says, one thing that we should never do is believe or convince ourselves that we've reached this state of perfection. Because when you read that whole context here, there are at least three things that Paul says that he had not yet taken a hold of. First, he says he didn't have complete knowledge of Christ. He wanted to know more. He wanted to know deeper. So he said, I don't have complete knowledge of Christ. Secondly, he says, I don't have sinless perfection. I'm not sinless. I'm not divine in the sense that Jesus was and without any sin. Oh, he said in the law that he was blameless, but that's not exactly the same thing as sinless. But certainly he begins to say that there's nothing of his own accord. It's not my righteousness. So he says he has not taken a hold of the complete knowledge of Jesus. He has not taken a hold of sinless perfection. And then when you read the whole picture here, and you think about the whole paragraph, verses 4 through 14 that we read, there's something else that he says that he hasn't yet taken a hold of. There's another reason why he says, I cannot think that I
and perfect. And that's because he has not finished everything God wants him to do. He says, I'm not there yet. I haven't completed everything yet. God isn't finished with me yet. Now, as fathers, on this remarkable day that we call Father's Day in our culture, we have to realize that there's some things we haven't always completely taken a hold of. God isn't finished with us yet. There's still work to do. There's still blessings to give. There's still wisdom to give. There's still influence to have. And whatever side of Father's Day you're coming from, because you have fathers, you are a father, you have lost a father, you have lost a child. Whatever perspective you're coming from, God still isn't finished with you yet. There's still something to do. There's still some way you can bless. And so we make application thinking about what this great man Paul said of his life. And we see, the three things he said, here's where I haven't reached perfection. Well, here's three things that we need to do. Number one, Paul said he hadn't reached complete knowledge of Jesus yet. Well, on the flip side of that, we need to continue learning everything we can about Jesus Christ. You want to be a good father? Learn everything you can about Jesus Christ. Build your faith. Mature in Christ. Grow in Christ. Be one with Christ. Secondly, he said that he had not achieved sinless perfection. Well, the flip side of that and bringing that back home to each and every one of us is that I should never fall into the trap of thinking that I'm above sin. See, we can get deceived by Satan to the point of thinking, remember he said, my own righteousness did certain things for me, but now I'm looking for a righteousness that is not that kind of righteousness. I'm looking for a righteousness that is through faith in Christ Jesus. We have to be careful that our righteousness, our holiness, our devotion and service and Christianity do not be used against us, that they're not used against us by Satan to the point that we become self-righteous. And then when we become self-righteous, then we begin to think about what all these other people are doing that are sinful. And I quit looking at myself. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we must never think that we've reached the point of sinless perfection. We need the grace of God. We need the blood of Jesus to wash our sins away at baptism. And we need the blood of Jesus to continually wash our sins away every day as we live. You see, this man Paul was told the record in Acts 22:16, when he became a Christian, arise and be baptized, washing away your sins. And then that passage we referred to a moment ago in 1 John 1 tells us that the blood of Jesus keeps on working even after that initial washing away of our sins. Arise, be baptized. Here's the initial washing away of sins. My faith and obedience have brought me to the point of baptism and obedience to Jesus, and my sins are washed away. But 1 John 1, verse 7 says, and if I walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, you see it's still there, cleanses me from all sins. So I am baptized into Christ, I am washed of my sins, and as long as I keep on walking, and that's what the verbs mean in 1 John 1, it's a continuous action. As long as I keep on walking, the blood of Jesus keeps on cleansing. I will never reach sinless perfection, but thank God for the grace of God through the blood of Jesus, my sins can be continually cleansed and washed away. But now third, you notice that he said that he had not yet taken a hold of everything that God wanted him to do. We're still under the first main point. Never think you've reached perfection. And that third sub-point under there is that he had not yet accomplished everything that God wanted him to do. Well, let's make the application. We've already essentially made it, haven't we? We've got to keep on working. We've got to keep on keeping on. We've got to keep on in our service to God. And so first thing from our text that we should never do, never think you've reached perfection. Number two from our text, number two major point, never quit progressing. Never quit progressing. Verse 13, Brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but no, I do not count myself to have apprehended, not to have gotten a hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting the past, and doing what? Reaching forward to those things which are ahead. You see, the contrasts are numerous in that verse, in that sentence, in that statement. There's the past, and there's what's ahead, the future. There is forgetting, and then there is reaching toward. And on you could go with this idea of the contrasts that are there that tell us that we should never quit progressing. You know, we can learn from our past. Unfortunately, sometimes if we dwell too much and too long on our past, it can hinder us. It can prevent us from making the progress that God wants us to make. I mean, think about the man who was writing this. Now, he was a godly man and a deeply spiritual man in many ways. But because of his misunderstanding for a period of time about the gospel and about the fulfillment of the law and who Jesus Christ really was, he did some terrible things. He was responsible for the arrest and imprisonment and the death of Christians. And he had a past. And he could have dwelt on those mistakes. And he could have dwelt on those problems. And he could have dwelt on those regrets and lived a life of regret from that day forward. They said, no, there's something I've got to do. I've got to forget the past and I've got to progress forward. You see, I cannot change the past. As much as I might like to. I mean, you give me a time machine and 20 minutes, and my life would be remarkably better in the past. You give me a time machine and just three choices, and, you know, I'd like about 300. But you give me a time machine and three choices, there's some things I would go back there and I would undo. There's some things I would go back there and I would do very differently. But I can't do that. So I've got to learn from it. And I cannot let it cripple me. You know, as parents, as dads, especially as we think about Father's Day, we make mistakes. There are things we would like to go back in the past with our children and we would like to undo, unsay. We can't do that. But we can learn from it. And we can move forward. And rather than dwelling on the past to the point that it cripples us and it stymies us from any progress, we learn from it and then we move forward. We press ahead. And when the Bible says here that we forget the past, it's not that we just abdicate all responsibility. It's not that we just are flippant about it. But it's that we take a very serious, reasoned approach to the mistakes that we have made, to the things we wish that we had not done or that we should have done or
want to undo. We take a very reasoned approach to that. We deal with it effectively, and we lay it at the feet of God. And we trust in God's grace to cover that gap that I've left wide open. And then, when that gap is closed, I can move forward. Because of what God has done for me. And because of His provision. And so do not let your past hinder you from making progress for the future. You may have done some bad things. You may have had some bad things happen to you that were beyond your control. Don't let that stop you. In the name of Jesus Christ, don't let that stop you. You get up from the mistakes. You get up from the problems. You get up from all the heartaches. And you move forward. It might be slow. It might be painful. And sometimes you may feel like somebody is trying to drag you back down and push you from the front, the opposite direction. But you progress. You move forward. You press. What does the text say? How is it worded here? You reach forward to those things which are ahead. God is not finished with you yet. Your life is not over yet. You move forward. Press on. Progress on. Some days you may only go an inch when you wanted to go 15 miles. But an inch is a lot better than going backwards. Move forward. Never quit progressing. Major point number three. Never quit pressing. Again, we look at our text. We reach forward. In verse 14, we press toward. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call, which is in Christ Jesus. Never quit pressing toward. You're going toward a goal. Sometimes it may be slow. Sometimes there may be many distractions. Sometimes there may be many temptations to direct your attention a different way. But press toward the goal. To press toward, to press forward, means to persevere, to endure all the way to the end. Sometimes circumstances of life deal us very difficult blows. Sometimes circumstances of life, sometimes of our own choosing, sometimes beyond anything we have control over, will dish out to us something that is very undesirable. Something that's very difficult. You know, it's easy to move forward. It's easy to be a Christian. It's easy to do all this Jesus stuff when everything's going great. The real challenge is when life stinks. The real challenge is when life is bad. The real challenge is when life is hard. And that's when we have to look to texts like this and inspiration like this as dads, as Christians, and we have to realize I must never quit pressing toward the goal because my goal is more important than what's happening to me right now. Something less than desirable may be happening to me right now, but that's not my goal. My goal is over here. My goal is the upward call of the prize that awaits for me in Christ Jesus. That's my goal. And some kind of temptation or some kind of distraction may be happening right now that is really weighing on me and hurting me and challenging me, but that's not my goal. And my goal over here is more important than what's happening to me right now. You know, the other day, speaking of Father's Day, I was watching an episode of Father Knows Best. You know, that really should have made me realize, you know, I need to work on a sermon here. But I was watching an episode of Father Knows Best, and I only saw a small part of it, the last little part of it. And so I missed a little bit of what the plot was about at the beginning. But basically, from what I could deduct, that there was an older gentleman that worked with, I want to call him Marcus Welby, I'm sorry. But there was an older gentleman that worked with Jim, the father. And apparently he was being let go by the company or something because of his age. And this older gentleman learned about this, and it hit him like a ton of bricks. And he was very discouraged. And the son, Bud, was good friends with this man. In fact, the children all called him Uncle, whatever his name was on the show. My short-term memory is not too good. But they called him Uncle whoever. And Bud went and found him, because he learned that he had, you know, been let go. He learned that he was discouraged and things like that. And he cared about him. And so he approached this man, and in his young, late teen years, tried to encourage this much older man not to give up and not to be so discouraged, and to look at this as an opportunity and to keep pressing toward, to use biblical language. And he made a statement in there that whoever wrote this script I thought was brilliant. Because he told this man, Bud, the character Bud, told this older man, you know, you're only 24 hours older than you were yesterday. I thought that was a brilliant piece of writing. That when we look at our life and we get discouraged, and we think we cannot do something, the weight and the challenges are shoving us down, and we just want to throw in the towel and give up and quit. And you know, we come up with all these excuses. I'm too old. I'm too ignorant. I'm disqualified. I tried it before and it didn't work. You know, we come up with this long list of reasons why we should just quit. Friends, you're only 24 hours older than you were yesterday. There's no reason to quit. There's no reason to stop. There is no reason to not press toward the goal. And so never quit pressing toward. Press toward the goal of the upward call in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so while all of these things in one way or another have a great application to fathers, I think we see how they all have a great application to every one of us. And these are some things that we should never do. Never think you've reached perfection. Never quit progressing. And never quit pressing toward the goal. Is your goal to live in Christ? Is your goal to be a faithful Christian and serve Him as fervently and sincerely as you can every day? Make that your goal. We're talking about the Father and what the Father has done for each and every one of us. And that through His Son, Jesus, God knows all about this father-child relationship, that through His Son, Jesus, our salvation is possible. That when we arise and are baptized and have our sins washed away and we walk in the light as He is in the light, we are walking toward the goal of the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. This morning we encourage you through the singing and encouragement of the song that you have marked in your book to think about what the Scriptures say and what we've studied this morning. And hopefully something has been said that has helped your life and that will make a difference in your life, particularly if you've never named Jesus Christ as your Savior and you've never obeyed the gospel, that something has been said today from the Word of God to encourage you to do that very thing today. As children of God, perhaps something has been said to encourage you in your faithfulness, your strengthening, your wisdom, and your walk and your work for the Lord. Maybe there's something you need to ask us to pray for on your behalf. Forgiveness, strength, pressing toward, and progressing. Whatever your need may be, the invitation is open to all. It is open to you. Would you come as we stand and we sing?